I'm in Berlin and on my way to see Judy Garland to find out what she hopes the future will hold for her. I'm approaching the Victory Monument, erected when Germany defeated France in 1871. But there's no feeling of victory here today as the city looks into an uncertain future. Judy surprised a lot of people when she cut short her concert tours to accept a 10-minute role in Stanley Kramer's 3.5-hour Judgment at Nuremberg. Why did she do it? I'll be finding out why in just 1 minute. We're on the roof garden of the Berlin Hilton, visiting with Judy Garland, one of the stars of Judgment in Nuremberg. And it's been quite a while since I've met Miss Garland.
Yes.
Do you remember? I don't think you did. I was just about 15 or 16 years of age, and it was a dark, cold night, and I was trick-or-treating, because she lives right down the street from my folks' house, and we came knocking at the door, and...
I think I remember, yes, Gerald.
Yeah, you were giving out bubble gum that year. I got one stick. That's about it. Where do you call home now?
I call Scarsdale, New York, my home.
And it's a shame what's happening to your old home.
Not really. We sold it at a good price, and it was up to them what they wanted to do with it.
But they've torn it down.
I know, that's all right. It was a lovely home, but it was their property then, not mine.
That's true. Well, here we are in Berlin talking about home.
Yes.
You're here. You did a part that's quite interesting, and I think a lot of people were surprised that you did the part. One, it was quite unusual, quite different from the thing you normally done. And secondly, it was a small part, relatively small part. Why did you accept it? Why did you take this?
Well, I think it's a terribly important film. Overall, it's a very important film, and it's marvelous to be any part of it. And it's also, it was a great opportunity to work with Stanley Kramer, who I am, whom I admire so much. But all, the overall picture, the Abbey Man script, and the clarification of so many things that have been confused, so many confused issues, I thought was important. And I am terribly pleased to have been a tiny part of such an important film.
It, as I said, it is an unusual part for you. Were there any peculiar demands of this part?
Well, no. I had to speak with an accent, which I've never done before. It required studying. It wasn't supposed to be a completely German accent, but more of a European accent. So I had to work on that, and it required concentration of a different kind than I'd been used to, but that's always good for you,
oh, sure.
You know. And to,
makes you work.
Yes, makes you work, and it's interesting.
Now, it's been 6 years since you've done a picture.
Yes.
Does this indicate that you're now going back to movies? This has always been a love of yours.
Well, I am going back to movies for a while. I just finished my 43rd concert in the United States, and I've been doing that for a year, besides the Nuremberg picture and recordings. Now I'm going to go to California for a television show, and also another movie for Mr. Kramer.
You're in production now, aren't you? Or
the television?
For the Kramer picture?
We're in beginning, you know. It's still in Mr. Kramer's hands. And the writers and so forth. So now I do the television show, then the movie for Mr. Kramer, and then I go to London to do a musical.
I'd like to question a couple things that I... on Here's Hollywood, we interview many stars, big stars. And that is, do you ever overcome nervousness in the concert?
Oh, yes, I have, finally.
Because you always have been.
I used to be, yes, but it's just got to be such a bore, I couldn't do it.
A bore being
nervous?
Yes,
it was too tiring to be nervous. So, as long as I had to go on the stage, I thought I just better forget to be nervous. It really is tiring.
The other thing that is fun to ask, and you can only ask it, really, of a star who's been highly successful in everything they've tried, and this is true of you, and that is, what do you really want now? What do you want out of a career or out of life? A person who doesn't have success can only dream, but you've really attained everything. What do you want to do? Where do you...
Well, I'd like to go on with my work as long as I can, and until I feel that I've... that I have enough security for now. And then I want to, my most important goal are my children, you know, and to see that they are emotionally secure, financially secure and secure any way that I can help while they are growing up. They are always with me. They didn't come to Berlin with me because it was such a fast trip. But that's my goal, I think, is just to work and be as, keep hoping to be successful, work as hard as I can, and do the best I can, and then someday just
quit
and be with my children.
So really that is your ambition?
Yes.
Is to quit?
Yes. No, not to quit.
Well, you...
I don't say that sort of putting a flat statement. I want to quit. I don't want to quit. I just don't want to be 80 years old, hobbling onto a stage, you know, and still singing, "I can't give you anything but love, baby."
Baby.
But I would like suddenly to, even when I'm 80, I'd like to know they'd let me.
Wonderful remark. Yeah, mentioning your children, you have two youngsters that are how old now?
Well, my son is 7 and my daughter is 9.
And Liza?
And Liza is 16.
And Liza always came over to the house with my sisters and sang the songs you sang.
Yes.
And she has appeared with you in concert.
Liza didn't appear with me in concert. Liza has just become an actress and just did The Diary of Anne Frank in Scarsdale. She was terribly good. She's a very good actress.
Are you encouraging her in a career?
Yes, as long as she wants to do it. She doesn't ask advice. She goes to the director or she goes to her own fellow actors and works it out herself. And I can't do anything but admire that and stand by. And thank goodness she's good, you know, because there's always a better feeling when your children have talent if they're going to be actors.
Well, I was just wondering, in reflection of your childhood, I don't know really that much about your childhood other than your fame, for instance, whether you missed out on schooling and a child's life. I guess you were schooled at MGM, weren't you?
Yes, I was, which is ridiculous. You know, there's no kind of fun or companionship. However, my children aren't missing that. And when a child gets to be 16, you can't really just say now, whether you like it or not, you're going to go to college. Pardon me.
What is that weapon?
It's a fan. The Japanese newspaper man gave me. You can't really dictate anymore, you know, whether a child is going to go to college, because their minds are pretty well formed by that time. So you go along and do the best you can and stand by.
Talking about MGM school, who were some of the other actors in that
oh,
school?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was Mickey Rooney and Deanna Durbin and Freddie Bartholomew and, that's about all. We had a big class.
But they're all big names, all big stars. One last question I'd like to ask, only because it's been a song I've loved, and I just recently found out that there's a story behind it, and that is your dear Mr. Gable. I you know, was in the play, and I've always heard the song, but I understand that you had a crush on Clark Gable, and that this came out of some... You and your teacher wrote the song?
No, Roger Edens, who's written almost all of the material that I've sung, wrote it for Clark Gable's birthday. It was a personal a present to Clark Gable for me. I did have a crush on Clark Gable when I was a little girl, and I was led in by the hand to sing this to Clark Gable, and that's what was behind. And they somehow put it in the movie. I don't know.
I got the fact. It's been a real pleasure
listening
with you.
That.
Lots of success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And I'll be back with you in just 1 minute.